Good morning. We have now reached week 6 in our journey of ascent, and step by step, we are getting closer to our destination. And as we travel along this path of life, we can experience the joy of God's presence, and we can be secure that God is always with us. Now, these Psalms speak of our discipleship. They show us how we can live our lives, and they show us that our actions can actually be shaped by God's promises. Now, just before we read the Psalm, Psalm 125 is the one we're going to be looking at today, I just want to remind you about the type of text that we're dealing with when we read the Psalms. The Psalms are written with poetic and really very descriptive language. They often have metaphors in them, just like poems would have metaphors. And this type of writing helps us ponder and really think about the different ideas and descriptions from like many different angles. And we often see the writers using really bold imagery to paint pictures in our mind's eyes. These pictures show us about the attributes of God, and we can carry these pictures around with us so that we can be reminded of God's promises to us. So, let's go for it. Let's read Psalm 125. It says this: "Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but they will endure forever. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forever. The wicked will not rule the land of the godly, for then the godly might be tempted to do wrong. O Lord, do good to those who are good, whose hearts are in tune with you, but banish those who turn to crooked ways, O Lord. Take them away with those who do evil. May Israel have peace." Now, here in the Psalm, the writer uses what would be a familiar yet really striking image to depict the security that one who has faith in God would receive. Now, remember, the pilgrims are singing these songs as they journey towards Jerusalem to celebrate the three great feasts. We read in this Psalm that once again, the pilgrims would have been looking up and singing about the very surroundings that they are travelling through. Think of us singing the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond just as we were walking along those very banks. It really brings the song to life. The psalmist is using familiar surroundings and a place that is really dear to these travellers' hearts to tell us about the story of the security that is found in God. And again, we get to travel in the footsteps of the ones who have gone before, as we too express what it means for us to have faith in God in our time and in our generation. We remind ourselves of the very real promise of God that we all get to experience. So let's begin by really looking at verse 1. It says this: "Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but they will endure forever." Here, in the first part of this song, it says, "Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion." What does this mean? Well, firstly, it points to the people it points to whom these people have put their trust in. The people that we are talking about here are people who put their trust in the Lord, in Yahweh. Now, the Hebrew word here, the word trust is translated from, is actually called batach, and it can be translated this way: to be confident, to be secure, or to be sure. Now, if we use these words in place of the word trust, listen to how it sounds. "Those who are confident in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but they will endure forever." Confident. think what it is like to be confident in someone or in something. Let's try the next one. Those who are secure in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but they will endure forever. Secure. When someone is secure, they are unshakable and they cannot be moved. Okay, let's go for the next one. Those who are sure in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but they will endure forever. Sure. When you are sure of something deep down in your gut, you are positive that it will be as promised. Now, watching someone who is truly secure is a fascinating thing. The thing about people who are secure is that they are not affected or swayed by external sources, by external things. They have this sort of quiet confidence, which is really appealing. This feeling of being totally secure is really amazing. To be solid and steady. If you think of the opposite of this, it's insecurity. And you can kind of see how destructive insecurity really is. When I feel insecure, I immediately begin to question my identity and then I sort of try and strive to get other people's approval. I try and feel accepted. It really makes me feel nervous and fearful. But this Psalm talks about mountain-like security. Now let's think about the geography of the landscape that we are talking about here, the landscape of that the pilgrims were actually in. We have learned that it didn't matter from which side or which angle you approached Jerusalem, you had to ascend, you had to go up. Jerusalem is called the city on the hill. In fact, another way that Jerusalem is described in the Bible is it's called Mount Zion. Jerusalem is set on a hill, Mount Zion, and then it is surrounded by more hills. It's protected by more hills. And these hills can act as a natural fortress, making it the safest of cities. Now, in Scotland, we are familiar with castles, and we know they're often built with protection in mind. Some are built up high on a vantage point, with walls and drawbridges and moats around them. But Jerusalem's protective fortress is better than any of these man-made fortifications. Really begin to paint this picture. Those who trust in the Lord are compared to a mountain. Think about this poetically. Imagine in your mind's eye what it would be like to be as secure as a mountain. A mountain is strong and powerful. It's magnificent, and it will not be pushed aside in a hurry. It's an awesome picture, and we really can get what the psalmist is saying here. We get this promise. When we trust in the Lord, we will not be defeated, but we will endure. For how long will we endure? Forever. This goes beyond the grave to eternity here. And then we get to read something so amazing in verse 2. It says this, just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forever. Let this image soak into your hearts. You see, not only are we secure as a mountain, but we're also surrounded by God's love. We are surrounded, we are encircled, we are protected by God. Now, we may not build cities in the same way as they would have in the ancient world, with the need for high walls or drawbridges or moats to protect us. However, protection is not a foreign concept to us. In today's world, we still feel the need for a defense system, for protection, and we use this terminology all the time when it comes to our internal world. We say things like, we've built up a wall to protect ourselves. We call it defense mechanisms. Of course, we've not literally gone and got some bricks and cement and built a little wall that we carry around wherever we go to protect ourselves. But we do really know what we're talking about when other people say this. We understand what that means. Just because we have faith doesn't make us immune to the need for protection. But the difference that we have here compared to anyone else is that we don't need to build our own walls. God is our safe place. He provides this encircling protection. He is ready to help us when we need him. Psalm 116 verse 1 says this, "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy." God hears us when we cry out to him and he is ready to help. Let's look at some other things that the Bible says about this security and protection. Psalm 34, 7. "For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him." Psalm 139, verse 5. "You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head." We sing this in our worship songs. In the Elevation worship song, "The Blessing," we sing this. "May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you." We read in Zechariah 2 verse 5, "Then I myself will be a protective wall of fire around Jerusalem, says the Lord." God is constantly giving us this promise. What a wonderful promise and what a wonderful picture. Right now, imagine you, yourself, right in the middle. God has you surrounded from every side. God is your safe place of protection. Let's look at what Jesus himself prays for us in John 17 verse 5. He says this, "I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one." Jesus is asking the Father to guard them. And who is the them that he's talking about? It's us. It's the people who have faith in the Lord. Eugene Peterson says, "Singing Psalm 125 is one way Christians have to develop confidence and banish insecurity. This psalm makes its mark not by naively whistling when life is dark, but by honestly facing the typical insecurities that beset us and putting them in their place." You may be like me and be thinking, hang on a minute, I don't always feel unmovable like a mountain. In fact, sometimes when life throws me a curveball, I move. Or what about when success comes and puffs you up? Sometimes you move. I don't always feel super mountainous. So what can we learn from God's word about this? Well, when you think about Israel's history, they too were up and down, rejoicing and singing and praising Yahweh one day for rescuing them from Egypt, taking them through the Red Sea. And then we find the very same people mourning about their food situation and like just building this big golden calf for them to worship instead of worshiping God. All throughout the Bible, we see this repeated again and again by God's people. But we also see time and time and time again this: there is something solid and unchanging. Throughout all of this, they are always God's people. God is steadfast and sure, and he is always redeeming them. So what can we learn from this? Now this is important. We learn that we do not live by our feelings about God, as fickle and changeable as they are. But instead, we must live by the facts of God. At the beginning of this year, I had a phone call from the primary school to tell me that my son Zach had hurt his leg. But when we went to pick him up, I knew he had broken it. We picked him up, we took him to A&E, he got an x-ray, and sure enough, he had snapped his tibia. It was a bad break. But that did not make my son any less of a person. Never once did I think, he's less of a son to me now. It's just the same when our faith breaks or fractures, or indeed our feelings are hurt. We can be sure that God also does not reject us. feelings aren't meaningless. They are actually really valuable. They can alert us to problems, and it is really unhealthy just to ignore them. But our feelings tell us very little about God. Here we are learning that our security comes from God and not from how we feel about Him, or from how we feel about ourselves, or from how we feel about others. So what do we know to be true about God? We can be sure that God is unchanging, safe, secure, dependable, and He never lets us down. Our feelings are very changeable and are dependent on so many things. Often it's faulty beliefs that directly impact them too. Do you see why putting our faith in God and not in our feelings is so vital? See, we are also acutely aware that bad things do also sometimes happen to us. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. We still experience pain and suffering in this present age. Eugene Peterson says this: we lose what we think we cannot live without. We also see bad things happen to those whom we love, and it doesn't seem fair. It also makes us live with this kind of dread in the pit of our stomach that makes us think, when will it happen to me? When will it be my turn? The psalmists lived this reality too. They were not immune to suffering and pain. But this psalm is not saying that we will be immune to these things. What is it saying then? Well, in verse 3 of this psalm, it says, the wicked will not rule in the land of the godly. Or in the Message version, it says it like this: the fist of the wicked will never violate what is due the righteous. The key word here is violate. The fist of the wicked will never break us. Evil and oppression will never override faith. We see it in the case of Job in the Bible. We see it when we look at Joseph in the Bible. And ultimately, we see it in the life of Jesus. The experiences and the trouble that we go through are never too much for faith. We have this hope that the suffering and the evil that we experience is always temporary. Gilbert Hyatt puts it this way: the worst does not last. Peterson says, nothing counter to God's justice has any eternity to it. Remember our promise of the kingdom of God. No more pain or suffering. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says this: no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He will never let you be pushed past your limit. He will always be there to help you come through it. Now, if you look at the history of Israel, it may have looked at times like they were and dominated by the fist of the wicked. They were oppressed by Pharaoh, by the Philistines, by Caesar, by other people too. But just like us, they could confidently say, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I read a tweet this week by Rich Nathan, the pastor of Columbus Vineyard, and it summed it up brilliantly. He said this: difficulty in life is normal. The Christian hope is not that we will have a carefree, problem-free life. The Christian hope is that no matter what we go through, we will never go through it alone. Jesus will be with us even to the end of time. We may also have some insecurity around the subject of if we will make it, if we will finish this race, or if we'll be one who denounces our faith. Or as the psalmist puts it in verse 5, those who turn to crooked ways. A phrase that you might have heard perhaps in the past is this phrase, backsliders. You may have this inherent fear that this could happen to you. Now, I've done some homeschooling, as I'm sure some of you have done with your kids. And my middle son is in third year. So we've been working through all his subjects, and I'm better with some than with others. But I don't want to boast, but here's my opportunity. I actually did win a certificate once for my achievements in geography. I enjoyed geography at school and I just got it. I can remember it. And I was delighted to help him with his geography work. It's actually something I could do. I actually do confess that I did take over slightly when I was doing, you know, the little diagrams and labeling them all. U-shaped valleys, oh, great. One thing that really sticks in my mind from high school is when they talked about all the kind of glaciated landscapes and all the terminology I just remember. So when we go out hill walks, I'm often pointing out truncated spurs and oxbow lakes and things like that. I get a little excited. My family, I don't know how excited they are. But one thing that I remember learning about is scree. Do you remember learning about scree? Scree is a mass of small, loose stones that form or cover a slope of a mountain. For anyone who's been at the top of the mountain, you will know what scree is. You will have experienced it. It's slippy to walk on, and indeed, that was part of my problem last time when I was telling you about our mountain climbing story. You have to be careful when walking on scree because it's easy to slip backwards. It doesn't make for sure fitting. Is this what the psalmist is talking about here? One who easily slips when his footing is unsure? If this is the case, I think we'll all have to just hold our hands up and say, yep, I've slipped. Does slipping backwards take us out of the contract that we have with God? How do we know that won't be us, or when we have lost our faith, that hasn't already happened to us? Isaiah 53 verse 6 says this, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Jesus tells us he's a good shepherd and he is faithful when we are not. He never stops pursuing us. Peterson says, discipleship is not a contract in which if we break our part of the agreement, he is free to break his. It is a covenant which he establishes the conditions and guarantees the results. But of course, we have free will. We are free to say no to God if we want to. Think of Judas in the Bible. But this is not like slipping on some scree and falling. This was something different. This was a rejection of God that was a choice that was made with thought and consideration. A choice which is sustained and deliberate. Even so, with God, there is always a way back. See, we all sometimes sin. We all sometimes doubt. We're all like Israel, up and down. But the first verse in this psalm does not say those who trust in themselves or in others. What does it say? Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion, the unchangeable, dependable one in whom we can have complete confidence and security. Did you ever watch Total Wipeout? I love that show. It's a TV show where a person would have to try and complete an obstacle course, but at the same time, people would be like throwing dodgeballs at them, trying to knock them off the course. They'd have to climb over this kind of funny little wall where little fists would kind of sucker punch them and try and punch them off. They'd also have to climb across this high platform, and there was kind of like this sweeper arm that was sweeping around and trying to bash them off the course. Well, some people believe that living a life for Christ is like this. We are like a contestant on Total Wipeout, wobbling and shaky, all the while trying to make it to the finish line and not be swept off by the devil, throwing stuff at us at every opportunity. They're crossing their fingers in the hope that they might be one of the lucky ones who can make it to heaven. But there is no certainty that this will actually be the case. Well, here in Psalm 125, we read that this is actually so far from the truth. What being a Christian is actually like is like someone sitting in the middle of Jerusalem, the safest of cities. We are secure and protected, but there's more to this protection. Not only are we secure here, but we are surrounded and encircled by our Father, just like the picture here of Jerusalem being surrounded by the mountains. The last line in this Psalm 125 is this, may Israel have peace. This can be translated in the context it is written as, relax. God is in control. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We learned that this includes our feelings, it includes our suffering, and it also includes the possibility of our disaffection. God will never abandon us, and the facts are, He never ever will. His will and plans will prevail. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, "And I am certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." The truth is this, as we are apprentices to Jesus, nothing and no one, no evil that we face in this world will ever thwart the plans and purposes that God has for us, or will be too much for our faith. We know that we are protected by God and we are safe. And even the ultimate enemy, death, it's lost its sting. This goes beyond the grave to eternity. So we cannot fear, and we can be secure in God. Okay. Isn't that cool? I love that psalm. Can I just pray for you guys? Just still your hearts right now before God. I just want you to right now close your eyes and just picture that beautiful psalm that we've just read. Picture yourself secure and safe in Him. I don't know what your circumstances are right now. I don't know what's been thrown at you or what life holds for you. I don't know what you're feeling or where you are on your journey with Him. But I know this to be true. What we've read today in this psalm is the true facts. We are secure in God. So right now, God, help that seep into our hearts and seep into our minds. I thank you that you are always with us. You never forsake us. It's a promise that we can be sure of, we can hold on to. And God, when we are movable and when we shake and we wobble and we slip, God, I thank you that you are unchangeable. You're a good Father. You are solid. You're dependable. Help us to hold on to the secure promise that we have in you. Bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.